Welcome to the Moms in Prayer podcast, a place where we put our finger on the pulse of what's happening in the world today so we can better pray for and equip the next generation. Our focus will always be revival and spiritual awakening in our children, our schools, and our motherhood. We're so glad you're here with us. Let's get started. Hi, friends. I'm so glad that you're here with us today on the Moms in Prayer podcast. I'm your host, Lee Nienhuis, and it is my joy to introduce you to our guest today, Wendy Palau. You are going to love Wendy. She is the wife of evangelist Andrew Palau, a part of the Palau family. You've probably heard Luis on the radio. You are going to love a glance into their lives. Wendy is a Moms in Prayer mom like the rest of us, and we're just so glad to have her here today. We have some great reviews this week, and I am so thankful for every review that you make. Farming in Faith wrote, "I love the encouragement for parenting I get from Lee and the other speakers on this podcast. I leave a Moms in Prayer International group, and I love how this broadens my view of the ministry. God is moving across this globe, and I'm so thankful I get to be a part of it. To Him be the glory." That's what we say too. And the next one was from Five Fab Fam. Say that a few times fast. She said, "I love Lee's fresh approach and honesty in her podcast. The Moms in Prayer podcast offers practical wisdom and biblical insight for mothers and women of all ages." Hey, we're so glad you're here. Thanks for those reviews. It's easy to leave reviews on iTunes for us, and that helps spread the message and vision of Moms in Prayer around this world. I don't want to keep you any longer. Let's get started. Wendy Palau, it's so good to have you on the Moms in Prayer podcast. Welcome.
Thank you. I am so happy to be here. I love Moms in Prayer.
And you are a Moms in Prayer mom, aren't you?
Yes, and I have been for a long time. And actually, I was thinking my Moms in Prayer group is tomorrow morning. So this is perfect timing to talk with you.
Yeah, mine's tomorrow morning as well. That's so fun to know that we'll be praying together. So introduce yourself and your family to our listening audience.
My name is Wendy Palau. I am married to Andrew Palau, who is an evangelist with the Luis Palau Association. He's Luis Palau's third son. We've been married for almost 25 years. We have three children, two in college, 21 and 20, and we have a 10-year-old daughter. I'm originally from Kingston, Jamaica, and met my husband when Luis had a crusade in Jamaica in 1993. So I'm an immigrant and proud of it, but I have an American accent because I've lived here a long time.
Yeah, and you're beautiful too. Yeah. I wish my friends, well, they can, if they go on the Moms in Prayer website, they can check out your picture and see your family if you're willing to let us show them.
Absolutely.
They are beautiful. Wendy, I read that you came to faith in your 20s, but that you were being raised in a Christian home. So can you tell me about growing up and how you met Jesus?
Yes, I was raised in an amazing Christian home. My grandmother became a believer in Kingston, Jamaica through a Billy Graham crusade in 1959. Isn't that amazing? And that impacted our whole family. My father had a very dramatic conversion when he was in his 30s. He wanted to be a missionary, and God just kept him in Jamaica as a businessman, very successful. And when Luis Palau was coming to Jamaica, my father got very involved. But growing up in my home, I had an amazing childhood, went to Christian school. But as a young woman, really in my college years, I walked away from the Lord. And who knows why? I'm an artist, I'm emotional, I'm romantic. And somehow walking with God felt constraining to me until I threw off the restraints. And then walking without God was killing me, honestly. So when I was about 25, I really committed my life to the Lord. And God just started to mold me in a beautiful way. And all this time, my parents are praying and just faithfully loving me. And I committed my life to the Lord, finished up my degree at Calvin College, which is near you
in Grand Rapids,
Michigan. Yeah. And a year later, after graduating from Calvin, I was working for my dad. And as I was growing in the Lord, I had a desire to serve him. I wasn't sure what that would look like. But then it was that year later, I met Andrew. And in meeting him and becoming a part of the Palau team, I've seen how God has woven that initial desire to serve him, had woven it into marriage and life and our future together. So it's beautiful, really beautiful.
Do you remember your parents ever talking to you about your journey with the Lord in the middle of that wandering time?
Oh, absolutely. You know, they were just, of course, praying for us, yeah. For me. My brother and I were the wild ones. Yet they really loved me through it. I just bring home these ridiculous boyfriends and just go out to all these ridiculous parties. And they just were faithful to love me. But yet Dad would sort of sit us down every once in a while and bring out scripture and the word. And I saw God alive in their lives and the way they lived. And it was beautiful to me. But I was trying to figure out if there was something more over here, kind of, you know, right. Realizing, oh my gosh, the life I really want is found in him. And it was when I, you know, as an artist and as an art major, I just had a lot of longing, idealism, and, you know, just this deep desire to fill my passions of the world. I don't know. It sounds so foolish now, but when you're, you know, 20, 24, you know, it drives a lot of young women. And so I really had to come to the end of myself to find him who loved me unconditionally and received me and forgave me.
Well, and friend, don't you think that we make it seem like our relationship with Christ is going to be boring or confining?
Yeah.
But I don't know about you, but our lives are anything but boring and confining. Jesus is like the ride of our lives.
Absolutely. Absolutely. My dad always quotes that verse in Psalm. I can't remember where it's from. He just says, Lord, you've set my boundaries in pleasant places. And that's the thing that I've come to learn, you know, walking with him is the ride of our lives. It is everything I was looking for has been found in this journey with him. Not always easy, not always smooth, not always pleasant, but the ride of our lives. Amazing.
Oh, totally. Somewhere in there, after you came to Christ, you did meet Andrew. Tell us how you met him and how you began to be a part of the Luis Palau Association beyond marrying into Christian mega Palau world. Yes.
That's what I always say. I married into Palau world, which is a gift and an honor and a privilege. You know, like I said earlier, my father is a businessman, but he loves ministry, loves evangelism. And even growing up, we had many missionaries staying in our home. I've met some amazing missionaries from a generation ago. And so when Luis Palau was coming to Jamaica, the fact that his sons were coming to stay at our house was not an unusual thing. But little did I know that one of those sons was the one I would just fall in love with. And when I met Andrew, he has his own story, which he actually shares all the time, of walking away from the Lord, being really the black sheep of the family. And he came to know the Lord in Jamaica. And that's a long story. Maybe I'll tell it some other time. But at the time, I knew Andrew wasn't walking with the Lord when I met him, but I really liked him. So just through a couple trips following up, he gave his life to the Lord in Jamaica. And then we just started, within 8 months, we were engaged. And within 8 months, we're married. So it was really quick. Left my sweet Jamaica and moved to Portland, Oregon. I would say that first year of marriage was hard. It was culturally difficult for me, leaving my homeland, coming to Oregon. Then also just being away from my family. I have a very close family. And that was hard. But in the times within that first year of marriage, it was challenging. I knew that God, we were meant to be together. I knew we were called to be married. It's just been a sweet journey. Andrew and I are very much together on everything we do. I started off before we had kids. I was very involved with the prayer ministry, leading women in prayer for the Luis and the team. Now I'm involved in many different aspects. I help lead our mission teams to Africa and Haiti. I also am still very involved with prayer, leading our National Women's Prayer Team. And then I also speak. I'm an evangelist and share my story. So did that answer your question? That
was kind absolutely of a lot. Answered my question. It just seems so multifaceted, your role mm-hmm. there. And I love that you had a call to serve the Lord before Andrew even showed up on the scene, and that the Lord was working in your heart to do that. I remember watching the news a long time ago and hearing the Palau family skidded off the runway in Jamaica in a plane crash, and hearing that that was a miracle. And I don't remember if I got that from Moody Alumni News or where it was that I heard it, but I remember thinking, wow, that must have been quite a trip. What a miracle that they're alive. But that was you, Wendy. You and your family skidded off the runway in Jamaica. Tell me the story of that day. What happened?
Sometimes it feels like a dream that it actually really happened to us. You know, it was Christmas, 2 days before Christmas. We go to Jamaica every year for Christmas. We were flying from Miami to Kingston. All our family was on the plane, our three kids and Andrew and I. I don't tell the story nearly as dramatically as my husband.
And they think that's okay, right? This is the mom perspective.
I know. It's true. It's true. It's just what you think will never happen, basically. Every time you're on a plane, you never even imagine that that would happen. But it was really stormy. It was a bad night. It was a lot of rain coming into land. And as we touched down, and Jamaicans are really funny. Whenever you land in Jamaica, the Jamaicans clap because they love landing in their home. So everyone's clapping, but the plane wasn't stopping and did not stop, skidded off the runway, over a road, through a fence, and landed on a beach. If it had gone 100 yards more, we would have been in the Caribbean Ocean. And if it had skidded off earlier, we would have cracked on the road. The plane broke into three pieces. You know, it takes a little minute after that slam to realize what has actually happened, that we actually crashed. Everything went dark. All the wires and stuff, that luggage fell from the overhead. Then Andrew just turned around and was like, are you okay? He and the boys were sitting ahead of me. Sadie was beside me in her car seat, flipped her car seat up. She was there, grabbed him, walked off on the wing of the plane. We were one of the first ones out. We were just two behind the exit row. I mean, I remember thinking there's so many things that go through your head. The first thought I had was there's going to be a fire because, you know, you're stuck in this tube and there's smoke. I was like, we have to get off this plane no matter what. And so we walked out on the wing pouring down rain, and it was a miracle. It was an absolute miracle. Not one person died, even though the plane broke into three pieces. No one died. On top of that, there was no fire, because it was pouring rain, and somehow the rain, that pouring rain, just stopped the fire. As we walked out on the wing, we jumped off of the wing onto the beach, huddled around, bawling, like, oh my gosh, we're alive, we're alive. Walked down with a group of us, like whoever had come out at that moment, and there was an empty bus. Here's another cool thing. So we're not anywhere near the airport. An empty bus was driving by on the road. It was out of service, a huge empty bus. And we flagged the lady down, and she's like, what is going on? She's like, the plane has crashed. It's pitch black. Just imagine it. And we're like, we need you to give us a ride. So 30 people, 40 people got on that bus. And then she went back and got more people. Anyway, big drama, but we survived. Thank you, Lord.
Great.
My husband had to get stitches and stuff. We had some bumps and bruises, but no major injuries.
What was life like after that day? I imagine that there was some conversations as a mom that you had to have surrounding that. Yeah. And you landed in Jamaica, which was wonderful home for you. At least recovering happened at home, but you had to fly back to Portland too.
Yeah, exactly. Because, you know, the first couple of days after that, I just was like, I'll never fly again. I'll never get on a plane. It was sweet that the kids, you know, dealing with them that night, we all slept in the same bedroom. We put some mattresses down on the ground, and the kids woke up with scary dreams. Sadie was only 3 or 4 at the time. I remember that being the hardest part, like just the trauma for the kids. The boys were old enough that they really did have a bit of trauma. And the fear started to set in, started to take root in my heart. And I remember by day 4 or 5, I remember saying to the Lord, I will not be that kind of woman. I will not be a woman who's going to live in fear. Ask God to take it from me, Lee. I really did, because I knew we travel for a living. It's what we do. We're called to evangelism, to go. My husband is on a plane every month, you know, month after month after month across the world. And I just knew that if I allowed this fear to take root in my heart, it would be a hindrance to what God had for us. And I asked him to take it from me. And, you know, he really did. And I know people who were on that flight who have not been freed from the fear. They're still living it. They live in it. And they will not fly. They won't go anywhere. They're full of fear. I just see that as a complete mercy from God, that he did not allow that to define me. I am not a woman who survived a plane crash, you know?
Right.
Where I see how that can happen for people. I did survive, but it's not who I am.
Well, right. And it does seem, though, and as I was reflecting on your journey, that that really could have been a defining moment.
Yes.
And in so many ways it was. It was that I'm going to continue to walk forward in faith, because fear could have sabotaged what God has called you to do.
Yes.
Fascinating.
And I think just that fear for the children, that everything seems too fragile. I mean, like when my kids learned to drive and got their driver's license, I had to really fight that fear. Like, oh my gosh, you know, anything could happen right now. Every time the kids fly wherever they're going, and Andrew. So yeah, the Lord was merciful. And since we are on a Moms in Prayer podcast, I really attribute that to the power of prayer. I really do. And just that cry to God, please heal my heart of this fear. And he did. It's very sweet. Not that I don't grab Andrew's hand every time we land. Every time we land, we hold hands. And that's part of just, you know, it's not, I don't know. There's just something every time we land in a plane, I think about it, but it doesn't define me. Thank you, Lord.
Yep. That's a part of walking with a little bit of a scar, isn't it? And
yes. Yes.
I love that prayer can do that for us. Wendy, you and Andrew keep a pretty full schedule. I looked into it just a little bit. What does life look like for you as a family right now?
Well, the one way I would describe it is it's messy. I keep looking around for people who do it really smoothly and organized and well, and it just doesn't exist. It can be really messy sometimes, and we forget things, and we are away too much, and then we're like, we're never going to do that again. And some trips are really, really hard, but God is so good and he's so faithful. Right now, our older boys are away at college. And so we spend a lot of time trying to coordinate when can everybody actually get together. And then our Sadie, who's 10, we try to take her with us as much as we can. We're going to Argentina in November and she'll be coming with us. We're in a unique stage with only one child at home. So we're trying to keep as consistent a schedule as possible for her. Soccer practice, school, this, and drama club, whatever, piano lessons. But yeah, taking her when we can. So I don't know. It's messy, Lee.
And I think that's just how it is. So what do you think it looks like to do family and ministry well? Because you haven't shelved either. And really, we can't as moms. No. We have this call to be involved in what God is doing in the world and be mom simultaneously.
You know, honestly, it's a tension for me. It really is. And it's a tension that I've not really figured out how it all works well. There are times that I'm gone away from Sadie and for the home where I'm like, this is not good. There are times when I'm home too much and I'm like, no, I need to go. So, you know, it definitely is a tension. Here's how I settle it. My first calling is really as a wife and mother, truly. And so that's my priority. My priority is to support my husband and to serve my children and my family. And it's just the role I have right now. And then the other things, if they fit in, then I'll do them. If it works, I will do them. There are times that I do leave Sadie, and there are times, you know, like Chris is coming home from college for Thanksgiving. He's coming home to an empty house, and I'm like, oh, he'll be okay. It's definitely a tension, but somehow God gives us grace in it. And every decision for travel, Andrew and I make it together. Every time he's leaving, we sit. Every month, we have sort of a scheduling meeting where we just say, how does this work? We do it together. We make the decisions together. If I'm leaving to go and speak somewhere, he's home, which doesn't happen very often. He's usually the one leaving and I'm home, or we go together, you know. Does that answer your question? Somehow, it's month by month, honestly.
And I travel and do some speaking and stuff too. And I think we make mistakes when we as much as we try to ask the Lord for guidance in our schedule and stuff, things happen and it is messy. And you just have to, I don't know about you, but I say, oh, I'm sorry. We're going to just keep in mind that we can't go that long or do that much or whatever. And there's no way to anticipate it. You just live in complete dependence on the Lord and the Spirit to make this thing work out, don't you think?
Totally. And I think, you know, there's such a balance with parenting these days, and I'm not sure if I have it. I know I don't have it finely tuned, but I think it ministers to our kids to see us serving the Lord. I mean, I think we can be overly focused on their comfort and their schedules and their world, and then we're raising kids who think everything is about me. We're trying to find that balance where, yeah, you are so important to us. We are committed to you, but we also have this calling, and there's a balance. We don't ask the kids to do our ministry, but as part of our family, they're part of it. We're trying to find that healthy balance. And at this point, our kids don't resent us and the ministry. They are loved.
And praise the Lord for all of that. Every day praise that goes past, just like, it's so grace. It's crystal clear to me that you have a heart for prayer.
Yeah.
How did that grow and develop inside of you?
You know, it really has come out of desperation, really, honestly. I think I learned to pray. I have learned to pray just through being a mom. You're a great mom until you have a child. And I was a great mom until I had a child, much less three kids. And I just think prayer for me is so much about submission of my children before the Lord and leaning into his power to do what I cannot do, leaning into his presence in the mess of my family and the rebellion of my kids or my anger, whatever it is that I'm struggling with. Having prayer to me is just like, God, if you don't show up, things are just going to fall apart at the seams. That really is what prayer is to me. And of course, that translates into everything. When you're getting up to share the gospel, it's like on your face before the Lord. God, I need your presence, your spirit, your wisdom, your power. I have learned to pray through being a mom. That's why moms in prayer is so important to me. For me, in so many ways, Moms in Prayer is about coming alongside other moms and putting our hands up before the Lord and saying, here they are before you, Lord God. Here's our school. Here's our community. We offer them up to you. Being a mom has taught me really about prayer.
And that's translated into other ministries and in other things. Are there other passions on your heart that you're praying fervently for right now?
Absolutely. I really have a passion for the lost and for evangelism. It's definitely my driving. The two are not exclusive. The two go hand in hand. Prayer and evangelism. You know, evangelism is a battle. It is a war. It's easy not to do it. It's easy to do something else. And without prayer, without time in prayer, without submission in prayer, evangelism is just me and my flesh, all of us in our flesh going out into the world. But with prayer and with time with the Lord, with his presence, we go out in his power. And you know, my heart really is the lost in the world. And I think it's easy for us to talk about evangelism, to read about it, to give to it, to care about it, but really, really hard to do it. Because the enemy doesn't want us to. He does not want us to share the Lord with the world. He doesn't want us to share Jesus Christ, the one who died on the cross, the forgiver of our sins, with the people in our lives. It's hard. And so, you know, my heart is for my neighbors, my friends who don't know the Lord, and my heart is for the lost.
And I just see how well that dovetails with Moms in Prayers ministry, which, I mean, our mission and vision is to reach children and schools worldwide for Christ by gathering mothers to pray. So it seems like a hand-in-glove ministry for you too, Wendy.
Absolutely. One of the sweet things about my Moms in Prayer group, and we all know that every Moms in Prayer group has its own sort of little culture. And it, depending on the leadership, depending on what the demographic of your school is like, one of the things I've tried to make a reality in my Moms in Prayer group is that women who maybe they have never prayed out loud before, maybe they have a spiritual hunger, maybe they have a desire to pray for their kids, but they don't even know what it looks like. Maybe they have a background in faith, but they're not connected with a local church right now. I open my arms to women like that because I really believe that Moms in Prayer is a great segue into spiritual growth and into a decision to walk with Jesus Christ. It's a beautiful thing. No one, no matter what you believe, unless you are an angry atheist, is against prayer for your kids. It just works so beautifully, you know?
It does. How are you introduced to Moms in Prayer?
My friend Karen Ogle, who, when I moved back to Portland, we lived away for a couple of years. Andrew was the festival director, and my friend was leading our school's Moms in Prayer. And her kids were moving on to middle school. And when I moved into, we're in public school. And when she said, you would be perfect to lead the Moms in Prayer group. And I'm like, oh, really? What's Moms in Prayer? And so she just held my hand. And I did Moms in Prayer for 4 years, led the group 5 years when our boys were in the school. And then our youngest child is adopted. So she's 10 years younger than the boys. So I was away for a little while when she was in preschool. And then when she hit kindergarten in school, again, I stepped into leadership. It's been great. I love it. Not always easy, but good.
Nope. Are there any scriptures you're praying over your children right now? Or any unique way you're praying over them?
It's so funny because I saw that question from you and, you know, I just opened my Bible. I'm like, Lord, what am I praying for the kids right now? I would say a couple things because of the stages of life that they're at. One of the passages I love the most when it comes to praying for my kids is in Lamentations. And I'll just read it. Lamentations 2, this moves me. My boys are 20 and 21, but we had some days when they were in high school, middle school, where things were not so pretty. You just really struggle with, like, is everything going to be okay, Lord? Are they going to love you? I'm an awful mom. I know it, but are they going to be okay? You know? And these verses really, really moved me. Lamentations 2, verse 19. Arise, cry out in the night as the watches of the night begin. Pour out your heart like water in the presence of the Lord. Lift up your hands to him for the lives of your children who faint from hunger at the head of every street. And then it goes on to Lamentations 3, which is what we know. And why do we pray? Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness, O Lord. And here it is. In those hard days, I say to myself, self, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him. And so much. Lamentations 2 and 3, ladies, go and look at it, write it down, underline it for the lives of your children. So much about praying for your kids and about parenting is saying to yourself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him. There's so much patience in parenting. There's so much patience in praying for our kids. And those verses have really ministered to me. And I still pray that for them over and over again.
That's a good word, Wendy. We do need a lot of self-talk as moms, yes, where we tell ourselves the truth about God being active and working in our kids, no matter what our eyes can see.
Absolutely. And He is our portion. God is the one who is working His ways in the lives of our kids. There are things that we cannot control. When they start going to high school, start driving, going to college, start getting their first tattoos, you're like, whoa, okay, this is out of my hands. And that's when you turn and you say, but Lord, you're bigger, you're stronger, you're good, and you love them. I'm sure your kids won't get tattoos though.
Oh, my oldest has already told me what that will look like. So okay. Actually, my oldest just finished driver's training. So we're in that in between where he's getting ready to pull out the drive. And I feel you. It feels like all of a sudden you're letting go in a little bit more and a little bit more. It's just a...
Yes, it's like slipping through your fingers, right?
Quickly. Yep.
Yeah.
I want to pick your brain for just a second because I know, and you probably do too, that Moms of Prayer groups do have a different flavor depending on the group that you're attending.
Right.
I have a really strong belief, and I think Moms in Prayer in general does, that we need to be praying for the salvation of the kids that are in school with our children. Yeah. And yes, praying strategically and scripturally for kids whose moms may not be praying. Can you talk to that end and like, how do you pray? And maybe our friends have no idea how this would work. How do we pray for the salvation of the other kids in our schools?
One of the things that's so beautiful about prayer, and it's God's economy, that's why He's so smart and we're not, is that prayer really does lead to action. So if you have a relationship with a child who's over at your house, your son's friend or whoever, you know, you start seeing what's happening in their life, you start praying for them. And very often that can just be like, Lord, help us know how to love him. Help us know how to show him what life with you looks like. I think in some ways in our Moms in Prayer group, we need to be bold to start praying for those kids. When we start praying for our son and then go around circling for our son, add that child in there as well. I want to pray this verse. So my son's Christopher and his friend is, I don't know, Luke. I want to pray for Chris and Luke, that his eyes will be open to your love, whatever the verse is, you know, add that in there. Freely pray for this boy or girl, whoever it is. But the other thing that I think is powerful, one thing that's happened in my life is as I've been burdened for Sadie as our daughter, and she's in fifth grade now, but when she was in fourth grade, I just began to realize that most of her friends had absolutely no idea about who Jesus is. Where we live in Portland, Oregon is very, very unchurched. And so a girlfriend and I started a little Friday gathering of these girls and their friends called Girls Group. And in this, we're just starting to share Jesus with these girls. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. So prayer for me, for these kids, has led to actually clearly reaching out to them. And that's the beauty of prayer.
I love that. Prayer leads to action. And it does. It looks for the open door because we know God will be answering those prayers for softened hearts, for opportunities, for that moment where that kid comes to know Christ.
That's right. And prayer is powerful in and of itself. Absolutely. They're not exclusive of each other. But when we are praying for somebody, when we're lifting somebody up before the Lord, we look at them with new eyes. We look at them with eyes of, wow, God's doing something in this child's life or this woman's life.
It often feels like a secret between my children and me when we're praying for their friends and we're watching to see those doors open because they do. They will. We wait expectantly and it's a great opportunity to teach your kids how to share the gospel because they're probably going to be the one with the open door.
Absolutely. I remember just having all these boys over at our house and in the basement and Sadie with her little girlfriends. And one of the thoughts I have is I want when this child is 30, I want them to say, you know, we had a neighbor who told me about Jesus. There was a family that I knew who, when I went to their home, I knew I was loved And they actually shared with me, not just love them, but shared with me that Jesus loved me and cared about me. And for some of these kids, I don't know how it is where you live, but for some of these kids in Oregon, it will be the only time that they will hear. I wish it wasn't like that, but I feel that responsibility as they enter in my door that they'll know how loved they are by the God of the universe. Mm. It's not always pretty because sometimes I get mad at them for making a mess in the basement, but you know.
Thank you for being honest.
Loved.
I do too. I pick up my house for you to come over sometimes and now it's destroyed, right?
Yeah, exactly.
All right, Wendy, what would you say to our Moms in Prayer audience today? Any charges for our girls?
Don't give up. Press on. I remember my mother-in-law telling me that our walk with the Lord, and you can say this is in relation to your prayer life, it's not a sprint, it's a marathon. And don't get discouraged. You know, when you see things happening in the lives of your kids, that you just feel like, I've been praying, Lord. I've been praying for this. Just remember his promises for the lives of your kids. It's easy to feel discouraged and to feel like God doesn't hear you. And as the problems get bigger and darker in your kids' lives, I know a lot of our listeners have prodigals, and it can be so discouraging and you feel like a failure. But I just really want to give that word of encouragement to just not give up. Prayer is powerful. And I know you've heard it 100 times, but he is working out his ways in the lives of our kids. And he will do it his way. I know when my boys were in high school, I needed that reminder not to give up. Don't give up. We'll press on, all of us, an army of warriors.
Such a good word. Wendy, would you close us in prayer today?
Yes, absolutely. Heavenly Father, wow, thank you for being so kind to us, Lord. Thank you for loving us, for welcoming us into your family. And Lord, I just think of the women who are listening to this podcast right now. And Father, I ask that you would just reveal yourself afresh to them, even this morning as they listen. Remind them of your compassion and your love for their children. Lord, I pray that we would be steadfast in our faith, no matter what we see with our eyes, that we would be willing to wait on you. And Lord, that we will be bold in our sharing of your goodness, Lord. Thank you for Moms in Prayer, this beautiful ministry that raises up prayer warriors all over this nation and around the world. Thank you, God. Bless them. Use them. Continue to use them. And Lord, we just tell you thank you one more time. We love you in the name of your precious Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Amen. Wendy, thank you for being with us today.
Thanks, Lee.
Aren't you so glad that moms don't have to have it together? That we have a God that has this whole motherhood thing figured out for us. We're so grateful that we were joined today by Wendy Palau, and you can find out more about Wendy and her ministry on the show notes at the Moms in Prayer blog at momsinprayer.org. I know so many moms that are afraid that their kids are not going to find Christ. They're raising them in a Christian home, and it just seems like they're finding a long way to the foot of the cross. And I think Wendy and Andrew gave us a real glimpse into their lives and how God wooed them over time. And so I hope that's encouragement for moms holding on right now. We just need to remember God will be faithful to us. Moms are making a difference, friends. Moms all around this world. Moms just like you. See you next time.